Episode 82 of the MLS Aces podcast. This is your host, Tom Sweezy, joined with Jason Vivang. Jason, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How about you? Things are pretty good.
I mean, we just talked about this a few seconds ago. I'm kind of upset. Drogba just lost the USL Cup final. It was a sad
It's
game. 40-year-old
but
Bull.
yeah, it's like you want to go out on top for a career that he's had. It would
Exactly.
have been cool. It definitely would have
Even if it's on top of the USL, you want him to go out on
been
top.
cool. It's top of his league. That's all that matters.
Yeah. So I will start with that. Louisville City FC, congratulations on winning the 2018 USL Cup. First ever USL team to win back-to-back USL Cups.
It's a hell of an accomplishment.
Hell of an accomplishment, and with FC Cincinnati leaving, it looks like you guys are going to be the big dogs. And I mean, like, you were the big dogs, obviously. You just won back-to-back USL Cups, but like, FC Cincinnati was probably their biggest competition in the league and biggest rival in the league. And now that they're gone, you guys are like free reign of just controlling and winning four more trophies in a row if you guys can keep
Yeah,
that decency together.
Drog was not playing next season, so
He's 40, so I'll give him that.
Unfortunately, Phoenix isn't gonna, maybe probably won't be back, but
They got some athletic
that's true.
players, but I mean, it comes down to a system, and Louisville seemed like they actually, have a system for a league that isn't the most talented in the world.
I mean, yeah, they lost their coach and still won it all, so.
The guy who scored the game-winning goal tonight in Louisville's 1-0 win had to be their interim head coach for 6 weeks of the season. That's American soccer to a
That's
fucking
amazing.
T. That
That's the stat that you just tell people. You fly overseas and you're just like, did you know
that we have interim coaches for 6 weeks
are also players and then they
scoring
score
game-winning goals?
season tournament winning goals, championship winning goals.
Absolutely ridiculous. Last thing about the game that I want to say, shout out Paco Craig. He is USL. He's a candidate for USL Defender of the Year. He's my buddy. He won USL Defender of the Year, I want to say 2 years ago, and obviously won it with Louisville. Won USL Cup of Louisville last year. Won it with them this year. So shout out Paco. Absolutely. Going from England here, great career here, and that's all I got to say. So, last time you guys heard our magical voices, the playoffs were just starting. Knockout round hadn't even happened yet. And Jason and I were telling you who we think was going to move on to the knockout round. Now, some of us had better picks than others, RSL beating LAFC. But
Ooh, you're
now,
just oh man.
I'm going to ride that, man. I
Hey,
thought my gut told me to pick RSL. I told you that.
you didn't get them all right, didn't you pick DC?
Shut up. How about that?
Hey, you can't talk shit if you can't take it back.
I'm a New Yorker. That's all we do is we talk shit and then we get angry when it comes back. But now at this point we're looking at the start of the second legs of the semifinals around the league, and some teams that were looking good are in some bad spots. And to be completely honest with the listeners out there, Jason and I are recording this during the start of Seattle Portland. And so if you hear us reacting to anything going on in the background, just you're gonna already know what happened, so don't worry about
If there's any some nasty goals, we may scream, you might have to lower the volume.
That's fine. So there's your warning now. But yeah, so now we're gonna quickly run through who we picked to move on before the first leg of these four games, because we couldn't get an episode out last week. Sorry about that, but we're here now, so that's all that matters. So Jason, Seattle Portland, who did you have before? And we got to be completely honest. We're not
I
gonna
hey
I'm here for honesty.
I yeah I'll keep you in check, you keep me.
I'll call it out if I think it's bullshit.
I had Portland
Ha.
moving forward.
Call him bullshit. No, I'm just kidding. I know you have Portland. I know you did have Portland.
I knew you were gonna say that. Just 'cause it's looking like a decent pick at this particular time.
No, and
Who knows in an hour?
Cascadia Cup rivals. I know you had I'm not sorry. I'm not talking about before this leg. I'm talking about before the first leg even happened. Who'd you have?
No,
You had
no,
Portland, right?
yeah.
All
Yeah,
right.
that's sort of I knew that's what you're talking about, so.
Before the first leg in this one, I had Seattle, unfortunately, so it doesn't look like they're gonna move on. It's gonna be a miracle from them, but we'll see. Come on, the one time I'll root for Seattle in this one. Let's look at Sporting
Hey,
Kansas.
it's not that far out of reach. I mean,
No, I mean, look, they just need to win by two at home. It's not that bad. Down two of your
they've
best
done it before.
players. Don't worry. SKC Real Salt Lake, who did you have before this started?
I had SKC, so.
I'm with you there. I think that my RSL gut picks ended with the LAFC, but
I mean, it's a 1-1 right now going into leg two, but
Yeah, but we're at
I think
home.
SKC is just the better team, and at this point in a two leg, game, whatever, it comes down to that.
So let's look at Atlanta, NYCFC. We'll talk about my pain and suffering in a little bit, but who did you have in this one before the aggregate started?
I don't know if I should say it, to be honest.
You can say it.
I have Atlanta taking this one, and it's looking like a pretty good pick. Sorry, Tom.
I had NYCFC. I was rolling with confidence, but we just gotta keep
I
hoping.
mean, there's like there's always still a little bit of hope, and it's, I mean, Atlanta's just so good.
I mean, I can hope
It's a
for a
shame.
David Villa hat trick away in Atlanta in front of 70,000, opposing fans.
Yeah,
I
well,
can dream.
that would be amazing.
But we'll get to that in a little bit. And for the last one, Red Bull's crew, who did you have?
I have the Red Bulls, and I think I'm still pretty confident with that pick.
Oh, okay. I had the Red Bulls too. I am not as confident with that pick, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Before we start talking about the semifinals, leg ones, and then looking at leg twos, let's talk about some news that have come out around the league.
Some awards.
Some awards, some new head coaches. Well, one new head coach. Let's talk first award that came out, Rookie of the Year. It was striker for Real Salt Lake, Corey Bard. He is played in 31 games this year. He had 8 goals, 5 assists, and he beat out Chris Mueller from Orlando City and Mark McKenzie from the Philadelphia Union. Do you like that Bard won this? And if you don't, who do you think should have won it?
I do like that he won this. He was my pick going into this when I was kind of doing some research. It's really just comes down to like he's been a really solid player for them as a rookie, and obviously they're a playoff team and they actually performed pretty well, and obviously against LAFC. And who knows? Maybe they'll move on, who knows? But it really comes down to just like he's played, I think, like over 19, I think 1,903 minutes I have written down, so before the playoffs started. But that's a lot of minutes for a rookie. It's just pretty impressive. I think that when it, like a guy given good minutes, solid minutes on a team that is in the playoffs, scoring goals, assisting players, that looks good. And I mean Mark McKenzie I think was the second choice. Obviously he's played pretty well. He's also played a decent amount of minutes, and they were a playoff team. Were, emphasis on were.
No, yeah, I think that, look, it came down to me. I said this, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago when we were talking about awards. I think to win an award, I think your team should make the playoffs because a lot of teams make the playoffs. And if you don't make the playoffs, you weren't that good and your team wasn't that good, in my opinion. So Chris Mueller was immediately eliminated. He had a very good season individually, but Orlando City shit the bed on every single level. So it was down to Bard and McKenzie. If McKenzie didn't get hurt late in the season and miss the decent amount of games for the Union, I think he would have been the runaway lead in this one. But Bard, played 31 games of 34 games in the regular season. That's great for a rookie. Like you said, he almost had 2,000 minutes on the season. It's just sad that Bard probably won't have a good career, because when you look at the line of MLS Rookie of the Years, not many of them pan out to be that good. In recent history, we've had better ones, but if you look at past the past 2 to 3 seasons, it's not too great. So hopefully Bard can break that spell.
Hot take. So Mark McKenzie's gonna have the far better career.
Oh, I
Is
am
what you're trying to tell us?
10,006% agreeing with that. Mark McKenzie, out of these three finalists, Mark McKenzie will have the best career. And I will say right now, on November 8th at 10:52 p.m. Eastern Time, Mark McKenzie will be playing in Europe at some point in his career.
That's pretty bold. I mean, I wouldn't be mad.
Hey, the New York native, Brooklyn's in the house. Mark McKenzie, I love him. I'm actually, I'm talking to him a little bit, trying to get him on the pod, so hopefully that's an off-season special for
Oh
everybody.
shoot! Should I have said he was my pick?
Oh, no, you're fine. I don't give
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
a shit.
Mark
Okay.
McKenzie, if you're listening, we'd love to have you.
Jason hates you.
No, 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 no.
Goalkeeper of the year, Zach Steffen of the Columbus Crew won goalkeeper of the year. He won it over Stefan Fry, Luis Robles, Tim Melia, and Brad Guzan. That's a pretty long finalist list of goalkeepers, but five people are a finalist. Stefan played in 29 games this season. He won 12 of those 29 games, and of those 12 games, he had 10 shutouts, 37 goals allowed on the season. Zach Steffen had a very good year, but I want to hear who you think should have won if it isn't Zach Steffen.
So a couple weeks ago, when we were talking about this, I did say I would pick Zach Steffen. But it is it's pretty tight race, and I think it really easily could have gone to Stephen Fry.
Yeah, I
Like
mean,
he's kept Seattle in so many games. Like, where would they be without it? Like, the way I like to like think of these awards at times is like, take that player out of the team and think of like where that team would be. And there's been countless games where Seattle probably would have lost without Fry, but at the same time, Stefan, like, he's been really good, and we saw in the last playoff game how good he really can be. The last two, actually.
100%. I think early on in the season, when the Sounders couldn't score goals and they were losing games 1-0, 2-0, they were tying, drawing games 0-0, Stefan Fry was the reason why. He makes unbelievable saves. And if you're looking just, I'm not even talking about this season, I'm looking talking about like talent wise overall in the league, Stefan Fry easily has to be the second or third best talent-wise goalkeeper in the league, I think, with Stefan and Bill Hamid probably being up there. But this season individually, I'm gonna go even different from you and different from Zach Stefan. I'm gonna be going with Luis Robles of New York Red Bulls. I think he missed one game this season for the Red Bulls where he broke his starting streak, and he. And the Red Bulls as a whole allow the least amount of goals in Major League Soccer, and I think he is a big part of it, and I think he is overlooked as a top goalkeeper in this league because of the motivation and leadership he gives to that back line, that he's always having different people in front of him. It doesn't matter if it's Kamar Lawrence, Connor Lee, Matt Miazga, Aaron Long, whatever defender from however many years ago you want to go back to this season, Luis Robles has been that anchor in the net, and this season continued to do it. And do it over again to lead the Red Bulls to the best defense in Major League Soccer. That's why he's my pick.
He
But
helped him. He helped him into being one of the best teams ever.
exactly, well, the best team ever if we're gonna go
Yeah,
point wise.
true, true. Debatable, but
I think
not points, but.
if they get eliminated, TFC, you still have to say has to be the best team ever, that they won everything. But
It's like that Chicago Bulls Golden State Warriors debate, best record thing.
yeah.
Yeah, Bulls
Best
best team.
record versus the championship, right?
It has no bias.
Yeah,
Don't worry.
I'm a Knicks fan, so I got Patrick Ewing and Kristaps Porzingis to
I'm
fucking run
sorry.
with. Hey, what do you guys have this year? Yeah,
I
nothing.
mean, hey, we got some guys injured, but there's a lot of good things coming for us.
You have that 19-year-old? You just drafted him? Wendell Carter?
Yeah,
Carter
Wendell
Wendell?
Carter
Wendell
is like
Carter?
the youngest player to be averaging like close to 2 blocks so far.
Okay. Defense is important. That's why
And
we're
then we
talking
have
goalkeeper of the
Zach
year.
Levine's like in the top five of scoring, so you're trying to hate, but we're in a better position than Knicks.
That's fine. You're
It's
always in a better position than the Knicks. I will always
hard to
say
be worse.
that. But getting back to this, congratulations to Zach
Back to
Steffen.
soccer.
Zach Steffen definitely did deserve to be on that finalist list, and there's always going to be an argument for him. Great season from him. Let's move on to some more defense with Defender of the Year, Aaron Long of the New York Red Bulls. He won it over Chad Marshall, Michael Parkhurst, Leandro Gonzalez-Perez, and Kamar Lawrence. He played in all 34 games this season, starting 31 of them. Like I said before, he and the New York Red Bulls allowed a season low of 33 goals, logged over 2,800 minutes. Sorry, I read that wrong. 3 goals and 2 assists added to his total. Aaron Long had a ridiculous season, and I completely agree that he is the MLS Defender of the Year.
I mean, there's really no debate, I guess. It's like best defense. He sort of led them, and yeah, I mean, there's really no debate. It's kind of him or no one, I guess.
Yeah, this is always a hard conversation point because there's no, like, when people want to, like, look at awards, it's like, let me see this stat, and, like, this stat is going to tell me that they
Defense,
won this award.
there's no really great ways to show it, I feel like.
No,
Like,
100%.
it's not like they're scoring goals. Like, obviously, you said he scored a few goals, had a few assists, but like that's not what we're
Yeah,
basing
that's
this off.
not the
So,
defense. Exactly.
yeah, like that
So.
doesn't actually really matter in this conversation. Like, maybe it has a little bit of say. I don't know,
I think
but
it's gonna like maybe be like a decision, like a tiebreaker.
maybe yeah.
Like
Type that would have to be how it would be seen,
for
but.
me, when I look at this award, I always look at like the best defenses in the league. So like they allowed 33 goals. I know Crew, Atlanta United and SKC are like second and third or something like that. So I'm gonna look at like the consistent starters on those three teams, and then I'm gonna say, okay, like Aaron Long played in all 34 games on a team that allowed the least amount of goals. Like, yeah, he definitely had a great factor in that defense. So I think he's Defender of the Year. That's how I kind of looked at it when I was doing it. But I think it's tough to judge that one. Now
It's
this.
a hard award to sort of pin. But I mean, Aaron Long is definitely deserving of it. It's not like a wild,
No,
pick.
not at all. And the last award that was announced, unless I'm missing one. The comeback player of the year, Giassi Zardes of the Columbus Crew. In 2017, he played in 24 games, had 2 goals, 2 assists, and was moved to right back for the LA Galaxy. Now in 2018, he played in 33 games, had 19 goals, 0 assists, and was a focal point striker for the Columbus Crew. I'm pretty sure he was the highest scoring American in Major League Soccer. He won this award over Zlatan, Ozzie Alonso, Georgi Mihailovic, and
George.
why was Jonathan Osorio on this list? I don't know why. But,
Why did Georgie win?
yeah, Georgie,
No,
come back from that
I
ACL tear, man.
mean, he's a young guy. He came back from an ACL tear and he had a good season. I wouldn't have been mad, but
Is he your pick?
that's more bias. I definitely think Zardes deserved it.
Yeah, 100%. I'm with Zardes on this. I think if not Zardes, Ozzie Alonso definitely deserves a shout at, kind of he's 35, 36, and he's like, I mean, playing in a semifinal right now. I just turned around and I saw his jersey on my TV. Like he's starting and he's playing well, so I have to give him that credit. But Giassi Zardes, I definitely think had the
It's like a total 180 from
100%.
where he was sort of trending, and now he's playing great.
And now he's potentially getting called back up to U.S. men's national team camps, and his career, like you said, complete 180. The last piece of news before we start talking about some more playoff stuff: Vancouver Whitecaps have found their new head coach for 2019. They have hired former LAFC assistant coach Mark Dos Santos. Dos Santos has been all around the game of soccer in America and Canada. He used to be an assistant coach for Sporting Kansas City and LAFC, like I said. He was the head coach for the Montreal Impact back when they were in the USL, the Ottawa Fury back when they were in the NASL. Swope Park Rangers in USL and the San Francisco Deltas in NASL. He's a one-time USL Cup winner, a one-time NASL champion, a one-time NASL fall season champion, two-time NASL manager of the year.
It's a long list.
This guy, he's done it on the lower levels in American soccer. He's kind of like, in my head, like a Gio Savarese type that he's consistently done it. He's proven himself in NASL and in USL, up in Canada, in America, coaching an American team, being an assistant coach. So I completely think he deserves a shot here. What's your opinion of the guy?
I'm definitely, we were talking about how Vancouver had a little bit of turmoil there at the end of the season. So I'm actually most interested in how he kind of reels the players in and everyone and tries to, change the culture in a way, I think that's the most important for a new coach to do. And if he can, create a more team-like atmosphere and get everybody together, I think they'll succeed. But if not, I mean, we might be talking about a new coach.
I mean, I completely agree with that. When I've been doing some reading up on Mark Dos Santos, for the teams that he's managed in the past, his first priority has always been defense. His second priority has been defense. His third priority has been defense. And then everything else kind of falls in place after that. And that's interesting to me because he's on a team that's going to potentially be losing Kendall Waston. We talked about that last week or 2 weeks ago.
Alfonso
And
Davies was not
Alphonso, exactly, Alphonso Davies is gone. Kai Kamara is potentially gone as a guy who's, he's in his almost mid-30s. The back line is, you don't really have a lot of big-name guys. Maybe Jake Nowinski at right back will be a guy you can kind of build around, but this team's up in the air, and
I think
I'm interested to see what he does with that defense first, and then what he moves on to do.
that they really have to give them some time. I don't know, how Vancouver's timelines and things like that and they're, but I think it's going to take some time, maybe a season or two, and they're going to have to put up with maybe a lot of losses. Who knows? But it's definitely going to take time, and if they don't give him the time that he needs, I mean, obviously there's a, at a certain point, it's like, come on. Do something, but it's like that meme of that guy holding the stick, like, come on, do something.
Just
But
poking the stick on the ground. Come on.
but I mean, yeah, it'll take time, and if they give him it and he succeeds, then that's great.
I mean, the last point that I want to say about this is, again, from some of the reading that I've done about, why Vancouver hired him and, what he's going to bring to the team. They said that they really want him to focus on, bringing up academy players and developing academy players into the first team, just like an Alphonso Davies. And I think that if that's the mindset they have going in with Mark Dos Santos, then I think that they're going to give him the time, 100%. Do you have
Did
any other news you want to talk about before we get into the
they?
playoffs?
I'm not sure if this happened, but I'm. Did they announce Coach of the Year?
Coach of the Year has not been announced yet. I think
Okay.
I missed one award from today, Humanitarian of the Year. It was
Oh, I did see that.
Matt Lampson, Minnesota United FC goalkeeper. He beat cancer himself. He's done a lot of work with kids with cancer, so that's awesome. Congratulations on that. There's no statistic to back that up. Just you're an awesome guy.
Just
That's all it is.
love to see, that award and who gets it and how they impacted others. And
Exactly. So that's
it's a great award.
I'm sure there's plenty of people that could have won it, and that's just great that, players around Major League Soccer are doing a lot with their time off the field. Let's talk about some time on the field, playoff time. And so far, there has not been a goal scored in this one, but Raul Ruidíaz is rolling on the ground. So I don't know what
I think
that
I'm a
means.
little bit behind you, so
Oh, sorry. I don't want to spoil it.
if someone scores, I'm gonna be like, oh
I'm gonna start
no.
screaming. You're gonna be like, "Shit, what happened?"
I'll be like, did someone get hurt? What happened?
Who scored?
Which side?
So, like we said, tonight we're recording during Seattle, Portland, and I am not going to be looking at the TV while we talk about this because I don't want to be biased about something I've seen on the TV. But as of right now, Portland is up on aggregate 2-1 against Seattle, and but Seattle has the away goal, has that away goal that could throw a little monkey wrench into things. Let's talk about leg one first. Raul Ruidíaz started things off early with a goal in the 10th minute, assisted by Christian Roldan. A few minutes later, Jeremy Ebobise scored to tie the game up at 1, and then Sebastian Blanco had a goal in the 29th minute, but many people were saying that that was due to Seattle being down to 10 men because Christian Roldan was off the field with an injury. Seattle down 10 men, another goal scored, not really great for Seattle away. Waylon Francis would come in to replace Christian Roldan, who is not in the starting lineup tonight. Chad Marshall went down in the 40th minute as well, who was replaced by Roman Torres. Chad Marshall is not in the starting lineup tonight. Game one ended 2-1. What did you think of leg one of this game, of this aggregate?
I mean, it was entertaining game, so I'm all for that. But I think, Portland's been looking pretty good, and they seem like pretty scary. And I mean, I picked them to move on through this, and I think, they will regard,
Yeah, I mean, I think that Portland plays a strong defensive game, and I think that that back line is very talented, along with Diego Chara in the middle of that in the middle of
Yeah.
that field, you know.
Well, they seem to have just a really good game plan every single game, and then they just go out and execute.
I think it comes back to Gio Savarese. Ah, the dude, you know, the dude who led the Cosmos so many championships, and yes, that was the NASL, but people say Savarese knows tactically what he's doing as a coach, and I think that shows with how well, the Timbers are doing, how well some of these young players are stepping up, like Jeremy Ebobisse. Sebastian Blanco's had a great year, even a better year than Diego Valeri, in my opinion. It's been a great year for the Timbers, and they're in a situation where they're in a good spot to beat their Cascadia rivals. Not that they've done it yet, but I think the biggest thing let's move on to talking about this game that's on right now, is that's going to hurt the Seattle Sounders is no Roldan, no Marshall.
Yeah,
You're
definitely.
relying on Harry Shipp and Roman Torres to replace them. So, how do you think this one goes as we're talking right now and I'm not looking at my TV?
Well, so I think it'll be, it is away for Portland, so you take that into consideration. I still think Portland ended up winning this. I just think those absences, on top of like the form that Portland's been in, is just going to be too much for Seattle, and they're going to end up losing, 2-1, maybe again, maybe the same result. It's not, Seattle's not in a great spot right now, and obviously with injuries, down a goal in the second leg, it's really hard. In the playoffs and MLS, it's a steep hill to climb, and I don't know how that's going to go for them. And I just think Portland's going to pull this one out.
I agree. I think Portland pulls this one out. I think that they score one away in Seattle somewhat, I'm going to say soonish. I'm going to say somewhat in like the 25th to 35th minute range. And I think that kind of, that kills the entire thing for Seattle. If Seattle does have a shot, it's going to be an incredible game from Nicolas Lodeiro, and Raul Ruidíaz putting away maybe a nice easy tap in from a Lodeiro
I
rebound
think
or
they need a
something.
goal. They need a goal pretty. A definite first half goal. If they don't get that first half goal, it's gonna take a lot of confidence out of
You
them.
can't let the Timbers get comfortable playing defense and kind of, playing
Dictating
some
and
rebound soccer, as I like to call it.
yeah. I
So,
wait. Here's a
yeah.
little fun fact from this game. I was, browsing Twitter or something. And I saw that. I mean, I'm totally gonna butcher this fact, but it was like the last 4 or 5 years there has been either Seattle or Portland in the Western Conference Finals every year, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Seattle the
Just
last 2 years, Portland the year before that, because they won it.
yeah.
14 and 13. I want to say 13. Seattle made it. I don't know about 14. So I mean, but look,
I
that's what
mean,
it
either
is.
way, it adds a little bit to their rivalry, and it just makes these games so much more fun. And I just love seeing, Portland, Seattle in the playoffs. And It's awesome that so close in geography.
No,
But
exactly. This is, I like to bash Major League Soccer for a lot of their made-up rivalries, but this is a rivalry that is 100% true. Like this, along with Red Bull's NYCFC, I think that even Orlando, if Orlando was better, I think that there would be a rivalry there. LAFC, LA Galaxy, like those are true rivalries. Like Houston FC Dallas, like there should be a rivalry there, but there isn't. Like
Yeah,
there's no bad
I
blood.
don't even I don't think Orlando City or Atlanta have enough games really under their belt to
I think if Orlando, like
consider.
I said, if Orlando was more competitive,
That's true.
you would see some games that meant more. But yeah, I think DC Atlanta is more of a rivalry right now than Atlanta Orlando. But let's move on to the Sunday games, the last three semifinal games. First, let's talk about the other Western Conference game, SKC versus RSL. The second leg will be played in Kansas City, but let's talk about the first leg. We mentioned it before that aggregate is tied 1-1 in the 51st minute. We had an amazing goal from Mr. Albert Rusnak, who was just trying to show up Demir Krylak from the goal against LAFC.
Oh,
And
I wanted to mention that one because
the ninja kick
that
goal.
goal was amazing.
The karate.
I was watching that and honestly it was like Karate Kid style.
Yeah, did you see the TIFO that they brought out for the first leg against SKC?
Was it the goal or
It was Krylak like doing the Karate Kid up on one leg, and they called him the Karate Krylak. It was
Oh, that's amazing.
a pretty good TIFO. I think I retweeted it if you want to check it out. But so that was the 51st minute. That was followed up by a pretty easy goal in the 60th minute from Diego Rubio to tie things up for SKC. SKC got the away goal in this one. Now they're going back home. Things to note before we start talking about the second leg: no Albert Rusnak for RSL due to yellow card accumulation. No Marcelo Silva potentially because he came out in the first game with a groin injury. SKC should have a full strength lineup back with Seth Sinovic gonna be back at left back. I think I know where you're going with this, but what do you think of like who moves on?
I think much like the Seattle Portland, the absences for Salt Lake is going to hurt them. Also, they're just not as good of a team overall. So, as harsh as that sounds, I'm definitely going to go with Sporting Kansas City. But those goals in that game were pretty phenomenal, that last game. So, I do expect it to be a pretty fun one. I hope it's a fun one, but.
I agree with you. SKC is going to win this. I think they're going to move on, and I think we're going to have an SKC Portland Western Conference final, which would be great aggregate.
Yeah, I think that'll be fun as well, but
If RSL are going to win this game, and that's a big if, it is going to take a huge game from some of the guys that have not really stepped up. Demir Krylak has stepped up, and is
Corey
going to
Bard.
Yeah, it's gonna Corey Bard's probably gonna have to step in and show why he's Rookie of the Year. Krylak's gonna have to score another ninja kick goal. Joao Plata and Jefferson Savarino are gonna have to show up, and the veterans of Raimondo and Beckerman gonna have to show why they're veterans and why they've won it before type of thing. So I don't think it's likely, but if it is gonna happen, some key players have to step up. But enjoy Portland Timbers SKC in the Western Conference Finals, boys. Okay, let's look at the Eastern Conference. We have Atlanta United versus New York City FC. It was an ugly 1-0 win for Atlanta in Yankee Stadium. Goal came from Eric Rometty in the 37th minute. But the game got physical at some points. There was a bullshit play from Joseph Martinez on a potential David Villa shot where Martinez just jumped into Villa and Villa got called for the foul. But whatever. Villa got his revenge after he elbowed Lorentowicz in the face a few minutes later. Game was dirty. It was a tough game, but I honestly enjoyed it. I thought it was a pretty good game from both teams, even though, my side didn't pull out the win and they let up an away goal. But now New York City have their backs up against the wall, down 1-0 on aggregate. They allowed an away goal. But I am confident. I am confident, Jason. I will say this right now too, that we will win 2-0. In
Wow.
Atlanta, in front
Okay.
of 65,000, 70,000 fans. Because everyone is healthy, everyone is back, and Atlanta's overrated. That's my opinion.
I mean, I always love those chippy games, so I
A
definitely
good
enjoyed
chippy game is
that.
good.
It adds a little bit of another layer to it, to the game that's, kind of makes it fun as a neutral fan, how I was to watch that. But I don't know how it was for you. It obviously might not have been great.
I was nervous watching the entire time.
I mean, Atlanta had that one goal called back. What did you think about that? What did you think about that goal that got called back?
Not a goal at all. Come on. Come on. It was a 1-0 loss. That's all we got. Like I said, like
I just so for me it's like I see where you're going with like you got to re with your team and I love Sean Johnson, so I gotta say I love the guy. I just think Atlanta is gonna get it done. I mean, they're going home to play in front of their massive fan base. Up a goal that was obviously, like you said, away, which is huge.
Yeah,
So,
it's a rough one.
I mean, that away goal is probably what's going to be the biggest kind of hurdle, obviously, but at the same time, it's like New York City has a huge, huge hill to climb, and it would be fun to see him pull this out. I just don't know if they have what it takes.
From so you heard my biased point of view. Now I'll give you my unbiased point of view. If New York City can make this somewhat competitive and score early in Atlanta, I think it would be a great rest of the game to watch, and it would be a great game of soccer to watch. I do think that Atlanta's starting 11 is going to come out a little differently. They came out in a 5-3-2 last week, which I thought was a little odd, but I guess bringing back Greg Garza, kind of having Jeff Lorentowitz bounce back and forth as a midfielder to a center back to whatever you're going to consider him. I think we're going to see something similar, probably like a 5-3-2 that can convert to a 4-4-2 or that can convert to like a 4-5-1, something like that. I think Tata's going to play this very smart, but very close to the chest and not really give New York City the space to counter that we like to do and play out of the back and kind of build up an attack. So it's going to be rough. I don't, from a non-biased point of view, I don't think New York City pulls it out, even though I think that if they do score early, they have a shot
No, you
at
can't say
pulling
that.
it out.
Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say
But
that.
my biased, confident New Yorker in me is saying that David Villa scores
Gets
two, we win 2-0 in front of 65, 70,000 fans,
my
and we're moving on.
as a neutral, my most hopeful thing that can happen is for New York to get an early first goal.
It would be if they do, I'm freaking out. You have no idea.
The game will be so much fun if they get that early goal in the first one. It'll just make it so competitive and so much more interesting, and that's the dream. That's the dream. So, David Villa, go make it happen.
I mean, this might be his last ever game for him in an NYCFC jersey, so you gotta keep fighting. Gotta keep fighting, man. Last game of the weekend. It seems like it's flying by, and I'm getting very upset that the regular season's almost coming to an end. But that means MLS Cup is soon, which I'm excited about that. Red Bulls versus Crew. It's in New Jersey. Leg one, we saw the Crew beat the Red Bulls 1-0 at home. The lone goal came from comeback player of the year Giassi Zardes in the 61st minute. The Crew made a bold, bold move of not starting Federico Higuain, but brought him on at the half, and he had a great second half of soccer. He assisted on that lone Giassi
A
Zardes goal.
beautiful
It
assist.
was, I
It
think,
was inch
they
perfect.
definitely did not start him for a reason. They definitely wanted to save that magic for the second half and then have him play probably like
Somewhat of a
a full
super.
90 in this second leg. The Red Bulls didn't have a bad game though. It was only 1-0, and they didn't play bad defense. Bradley Wright Phillips was a little looked like he was a little swallowed up from the Crew defense, but he did have a late chance on a header that Zach Steffen made an incredible save on and kept the Crew up.
Steffen made some incredible saves that game, that being one of
I swear that's the only reason why he won Goalkeeper of the Year was that save. But
them.
so leg one, what did you think?
A little bit like what you said, Red Bulls didn't have a terrible game. Obviously, Steffen played really well, saved a few, sure goals. Crew got it done. I still am just gonna go with the Red Bulls. I just think there's really no team in the MLS that probably has more confidence than them right now. It comes down to like the fact that you're going home. They're gonna play in, their home stadium. The Crew got to go there. They have some time, to train. Do you think about what they did wrong in the last game, or what, they could have changed? But it came down to, a matter of inches on many of those. Like, there was that one save that Steffen had where he came, like, I don't even know, 40 yards out of the
Yeah,
box.
he did
Like,
just.
things like that, like, those are great plays by Steffen, but you don't think that's going to happen every time, and you get that situation 9 times out of 10. I would probably take the field player over the goalie. So I would say, there's probably going to be a goal there. And that save at the end of the game where he's diving and just gets slightest of touches on that, again, like, right there, those two plays, it could have been 2-1. So I think they can take a little bit of optimism and kind of use it to their advantage and be like, this could have gone so much differently, in our favor. And, it didn't in the first leg. We were playing away. They got their goal. Let's just get it done at home, beat them, and move on.
No, I completely agree. I don't, from my biased point of view, people are going to think that I think the Crew are going to move on. My unbiased point of view, the Crew are still moving on. Even though I don't think it's going to be because of a lack of effort on the Red Bull side of things. You're down 1-0 on aggregate, but you're playing at home. You didn't score the away goal, but it's only a 1-0 deficit. The Red Bulls, they play with confidence. They have Kaku, who is a beast in the middle. Bradley Wright Phillips, I've seen him score a stupid amount of goals, especially against my team, and he can do it whenever he wants to. It's just when he gets the feed, he can just score. And the Red Bulls are not out of this. At the end of the day, I do think the Crew score an away goal and move on. I think they secure it with an away goal, probably like a Giassi Zardes, just easy tap him. But there's 100% a possibility that the Red Bulls can make an aggregate out of this with an early goal from Bradley Wright Phillips, and like same thing for Atlanta NYCFC, an early goal, game's completely different and game on type of thing. I think the Eastern Conference games are going to be way more entertaining than the Western Conference games.
I would agree with that. I think that this game will be, it's something that, like, I picked the Crew against DC because, like I was saying before, the Crew just somehow get it done. Like, I don't know how else to just describe it. It's just they somehow, they seem to pull out these wins and just keep moving on, and it's really fun to watch, but it sucks to play against them in the playoffs. It just does. These playoff, penalty games where, Stefan's saving like a bunch of these goals, and
Yo, he just I don't get
what happened to him in the playoffs?
he just like he gets like a shot of like steroids in the ass and just balls out of his mind. Maybe does like a line of coke before the game. Like he's just like, I'm ready for to save some PKs. Like I have no idea.
He can't go overseas. There's no playoffs.
That's the only time. Only time he steps up is when it's the playoffs.
It's so much fun to watch, but it's just amazing. I honestly didn't think, they were going to be able to do it against the Red Bulls. I just thought, this Red Bulls are just too good,
Yeah.
but they're proving me wrong, and I'm here for it. To be honest with you, my biased point of view, if we're gonna be doing that, is I kind of want the Crew to win. I love to see, the underdog and just pull this shit out, but
Hey, look, I'm here for biased, I'm here for unbiased, I'm here for complete bullshit. Whatever you want to give me, that's why I'm here. And that's why I love soccer. You just like you can talk whatever you want to talk about.
Zardes was six. Six.
Zardes, 17 from Zardes.
You heard it here first. He's gonna be like, yeah, that's why I was a comeback player of the year. That's why George didn't get
If it happens, you're the only person that predicts that. Just so there you go.
it.
So you're picking Atlanta in the Atlanta NYCFC aggregate. Who was your official pick for this one? Is it Red Bulls?
It is Red Bulls. That's my official pick. I picked them before the last game, so I'm not about changing it now. So
I mean, you stuck with
I
all four of
still,
your picks before and after.
yeah. So I believe that they're gonna pull this out. It may not be my personal preference, but I don't know. I feel like either way this game goes, I'm gonna be pretty happy as a fan.
For me, I'm definitely not sticking with my picks before and after. I had a rough second round of picks. I'm gonna pick Portland versus SKC. We said that before. I'm gonna stick with New York City. I'm sticking on with City, mainly for hope.
Gotta
Not
roll with your team, you know.
exactly, mainly
It
for hope.
feels like it's like when you do those March Madness brackets, and like if you don't put your team down, it's like, what are you doing? You can't write the other team.
I always gotta go Notre Dame to like the Sweet 16, always. But I'm gonna change my pick of Red Bulls to Crew. I think it's gonna be Crew moving on, and I'd City Crew would definitely be a great Eastern Conference final, but Atlanta Crew would be an unbelievable Eastern Conference final, replaying that semifinal of last year where Stephen just saved the shit out of everyone's penalty kicks.
I think the conference finals will be great, regardless. So.
The conference final in the Eastern Conference, whoever it is, if it's Red Bull City, if it's Red Bulls Atlanta, if it's Crew Atlanta, whoever the hell it is going to
It'll be
be
worth watching.
unbelievable. The Western
Yeah.
Conference is going to be good. Like if it's looking right now like Timbers SKC, or even if it's Seattle SKC, Western Conference will be good, but Eastern Conference will blow it out of the water. It'll be better than MLS Cup, in my opinion.
I think Atlanta Red Bulls would be a really fun one. Just because, they were the top two teams in the conference and separated by like what was it, 2 points?
2
3 points,
points, I think.
two
Yeah,
points,
the
yeah.
Supporter Shield rivalry that happened at the end of the season to come back now.
There's like a little bit of, as little bit of history as you can get, like a few, like a month ago history.
There's literally a rivalry between all four of these teams in any single way you want to match it. If you want to
Yeah, so.
match Atlanta Red Bulls, you got Supporter Shield, beef. If you want to match City Red Bulls, you have
I mean, you
the
don't even need
derby.
to describe it there.
It's
Like,
just
it's
exactly
obvious.
like even City Crew, there's beef from previous playoffs of where like Crew just beat the shit out of City. Like it like that that's the least entertaining one, I think, but like
I think
there's
that's
still
also
something
kind
there.
of a little unlikely. But
Why you gotta
I
hurt me like
started talking,
that?
and I was like, ooh, I went down a bad, this is a slippery slope.
You gotta hurt me like that.
It's late, we're watching the game at the same time, my mind's not always working to perfection.
I'm okay with it.
We'll just rewind rewind and start over.
All right, so some other small pieces of news that have come out that we can quickly run through before we call this show a close. U.S. men's national team roster came out for the friendlies against England and Italy. A lot of the same faces that we've seen: Stefan, Robinson, Brooks, Niazga, Yedlin. You know the whole list of players. Pulisic is finally back in the
We're gonna
roster.
finally get the Pulisic,
Oh.
McKennie, Adams
If
midfield.
we get a midfield that consists of Timothy Weah out on wide on one side, then we have if we have Pulisic in the middle, like Romain Gaul out wide on the other side,
He's a guy I'm very excited
then
about. I want to see him play.
let me finish my wet dream. Hold on. So you got Weah, Gaul, Pulisic in the middle, Adams and McKenzie underneath them, Sargent up top. Oh, that's a
I
U.S.
mean,
men's
we
national
were
team
talking about
fan
it like
dream.
a couple of weeks ago, I think. And I mean, I really want them to do that 4-4-3
I mean, yeah, that's my preferred. Oh, there's no Novakovic. Damn it, I just realized that.
Yeah.
I'm so upset right now.
But Bobby Wood's back.
I don't want to watch anymore. I don't know Andy Novakovic.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there's a reason for that. I didn't read much into it,
I mean, there probably is, but I'm so upset about it now. Damn.
but watch it for Romain Gall.
Gaul. Then we got Luca De La Torre getting his first call up. Sebastian Lletget getting his first call up since he got injured. Any other notable things? Cameron Carter-Vickers is back. I'm happy about. Reggie Cannon is back. I'm happy about. Darlington Nagbe is back, which is interesting because his team's still in the playoffs. Potentially not soon. Yeah, it's a typical U.S. men's national team roster.
It's a big
No,
one. It's a big one.
it is. I think we're gonna see
28 players, I think.
a lot of rotation. I think definitely between these two friendlies, and if they're a tough two friendlies, England and Italy, they're gonna be definitely firing on all cylinders. Italy has Kevin Lasagna up in the attack, so watch out for that. England's gonna have Wayne Rooney in the attack, so again, watch out for that.
I think it was said today he's gonna be coming off the bench, so.
That's so. God damn it.
So I think it'll be probably Harry Kane. I don't know. I didn't
That'd be
see their
nice.
lineup. I just saw it. I think Southgate said he's going to be coming off the bench in that game.
I mean, I wouldn't you want to start him and then bring him off the field for like a farewell? Because that's the whole point of this game is
That's
like
actually, yeah,
this is your
that is
farewell.
probably a way better. I didn't even think of that. That's a way
So.
easier thing to do. Then he gets that walk off the field, you know, where he stands and
The slow
claps.
clap, yeah, like
Yeah.
you know, have even like the U.S. team clap for him as he walks off, like sub him off in like the
He gets
60th
to like
minute.
dap up all his teammates,
Yeah, like
coach.
Rio Ferdinand's in the on, like right on the sideline, like some shit. Like, come on, I'm thinking of a better storybook ending than what's gonna happen in real life. So that's the U.S. men's national team talk. The last two things I wanted to bring up, it looks like David Beckham's my Inter Miami is gonna happen. The stadium deal got approved down in the city of Miami, so everything looks to be full go. I'm excited because that means they'll bring Antoine Griezmann here sooner rather than
I
later.
saw that rumor again today.
And because he had
It's
another
just.
recent interview with ESPN FC where he said he loves the NBA, he loves sports culture in America, and he
I
wants
mean,
to
I
finish his
love
career.
Griezmann, so I'm okay with him coming over here to the MLS, but.
Well, he said if David Beckham calls, it's gonna be hard for him to turn down that call from Beckham. And then at another
Mean, I'd get
point,
a jersey.
oh, 100%, 1,000%. Are you kidding me? I love soccer jerseys. By the way, if you're from a soccer team listening, my address is. And he also said that there was a possibility he would want to team back up with his former teammate Carlos Vela at some point. So LAFC possibly an option for him as well. But so that's the Inter Miami David Beckham United talk.
The renderings were, I don't know if we talked about this last episode, but they look pretty beautiful.
And we did, but I'm completely fine talking about it again.
Yeah.
That
Yeah, we
stadium,
definitely
oh.
I gotta bring it up every time because I whenever you mention Inter Miami, I just think of those renderings and just ooh.
It's gonna get used to me calling a team Inter Miami. Like, it doesn't flow off my tongue
Feels
nicely.
weird at first, but hopefully once they start playing.
I think I must have started calling them Inter. I know like Inter Milan has that. Like, you just say Inter, you think Inter Milan, but like I think I just gotta start saying Inter, and whatever, and that'll work for me. The
It'll
last,
work on this
yeah,
podcast.
it'll work. People know what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
The last thing that I wanted to talk about and quickly mention was that FC Cincinnati announced that they will be signing three of their USL players to join the Major League Soccer side: midfielder Jimmy McLaughlin, midfielder Corbin Bone, and defender Forrest Lasso. They will be joining the obvious Fatai Alashe and Fernando Adi. And then there's also the potential that they will also bring in and sign midfielder Emmanuel Ledesma, who is a finalist for USL MVP and will most likely win that award. So I think right now, if you count Ledesma as well, they have a base of six guys that they're going to start off their roster with. And I like the when a team moves up from USL or NASL to MLS that when they keep like some of their players, it kind of got them there. Like I like when Minnesota
Yeah.
kept Ibarra. Well, they didn't keep Ibarra, they brought Ibarra back, but they kept Ramirez. They kept Brent Coleman. Like I liked that they did that. I don't know if all these guys are gonna work out. I think I'm not confident in all of them. I'll say that. But I like that they kind of bring some of their key guys that got them to that point.
Yeah, that I would agree with you there. That's it kind of like, especially for that first season where there's probably not as much riding on, the performance on the field. It's nice to have people in the locker room that kind of remember, the USL days, I guess, or can kind of look back on their history and be like, yeah, we kind of got this team here and we made this jump and now we're where we want to be after, many years of hard work.
After a one amazing US Open Cup run and we were created in 2015. That's just crazy how you go from like creation to Major League Soccer in like 4 years.
Yeah.
But
They have the fan base for it. I mean,
they also had the
got a
rumors
decent
to
fan.
do you remember the rumors to start the season when maybe like in the middle of the season when there was reports coming out that FC Cincinnati was gonna after they got the MLS bid they were gonna sign their first DP without even being in MLS and everyone was like there's reports coming out that it was Fabian Johnson gonna be their first DP like those were actually legit reports. I thought they were all like jokes.
Yeah,
That
I
was
can. I think I remember
bring
that.
in Fabian Johnson as your second DP, and FC Cincinnati is winning MLS Cup. Just my opinion.
That would be
That
nah. No, no one can win in their first season. That's just no.
except the Chicago Fire.
Oh, now that you mention it.
I'll always shit on the Fire, but that's the one compliment I'll give them. You have anything you want to say before we close out the show?
honestly, not really.
It is a late night here, folks.
It is a late one.
I'm gonna try to keep my eyes open and finish watching the second half of this game, but if I don't, then I'm just gonna have to rewatch it again tomorrow.
Which is never a bad thing.
Never a bet. Oh, almost the goal there.
All right, well,
Okay.
settle down. Settle down. Settle down.
I got to the end and I couldn't help myself.
I'm a little upset they didn't score when we were like, don't they know we're talking about them?
God damn, like I know this is like a real game that has playoff like implications on the line, but we're recording a goddamn podcast here. Someone do shit.
Like score so we can cheer.
That's enough stalling for us there. This has been episode 82 of the MLS Aces podcast. Thank you guys for listening. There will be no extra me adding in saying we have an interview now because I didn't get an interview this week. So just enjoy our voices and enjoy watching some soccer, and hopefully I can get an interview guys for you next week. And that's that. Thank you guys for
Yeah.
listening.
Peace.